Today on Coding 101, we're getting into some Mac love as well as while loops. We're going to review those as well as relational operators and for loops.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Coding 101 is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Coding 101 is brought to you by Lynda.com. Learn what you want, when you want, with access to over 2,000 high-quality online courses and training videos. All for one low monthly price. To try it free for 7 days, visit Lynda.com/C101. That's Lynda.com/C101. Welcome to Coding 101. It's the TWiT show that gives you the knowledge to live in the wonderful world of the programmer. I'm Father Robert Ballister.
And I'm Shannon Morrison. For the next 30 minutes, we are going to get you all theoried up and all researched up on the code.
That's right, Shannon. Now, we know that the key to learning anything is repetition, right? I mean, you got to learn a lot in order to
Absolutely.
Learn a little. So is there anything that we need to go over?
Actually, yeah, we got a lot of feedback on all sorts of different things. So I decided that we should go ahead and show some Mac users some love, as review while loops.
Good call. Yeah, the Mac users have been yelling at us for a while, saying, hey, wait a minute, what about us?
They have.
Mac brothers and sisters, rejoice, because Snubs Compiled is going to drop the knowledge on you right now.
Absolutely. So first off, I wanted to go ahead and check out Microsoft Visual Studio Express on my Windows S7, my Acer Aspire 7. I wanted to get back into while loops just to do a quick review of what we learned last week as far as those goes. Mm-hmm. So I went over to the GitHub, and I'm using the same exact program that we used last week. This is my Visual Studio all set up. I just copied and pasted what Lou taught us as well as all of his notes and everything else that's included in there. And I ran start.
There.
And we see that the program works just fine.
Right. And to remind everyone, what we did with the while loop was we had it output to the screen the number that was in the counter, and then it would just decrement the counter and then continue until it hit zero.
Exactly. So there's a lot of information in here. So I also wanted to share one of my very, very simple while loops. So I took your example from last week and I created my own up here. And I also just figured out how to make two files show up here so you can just switch between the two.
Woohoo!
Very easy to do. All you do is go to File, Open File, if you've already saved it, and then choose your file from the list right here. So I have my while loop 2 and Lou's example both opened up next to each other.
Right, which is nice because it's just like tab browsing. You can go back and forth between like the safe code, the one that you know that works, and the one that you're going to try to break.
Yeah, so I can see what kind of errors I've been making and see if I can fix them myself. Mm-hmm. So I used this example right here. So I have a really high counter up here. I call it a counter. And then my while loop starts with while the counter is greater than 5. Mm-hmm. Continue with the right line of the counter. So that starts with 1,000.
Right. And remember, because the right is different than right line. So console.write will just output the number, and then the next number will be right behind it, and right behind that one.
Yes. A right line will give us an enter so that it goes down to the next line.
Exactly.
Aha. Hence line. So next on the next line, we have counter, which is 1,000, equals 1,000 minus 1.
Right.
Every time this is still true as far as being greater than 5, it'll continue this loop. So if I run this right now, I get... Notice that the last number on here is 6.
Oh, snubs, that's interesting. Why doesn't it go to 5?
I don't know. Maybe because 5 is not greater than 5.
Oh, wow. You know what? That's going to lead us into when we talk about relational operators.
Exactly.
But that's a good little foray there.
Isn't it?
A lot of people... Okay, folks... You're going to get confused at least a couple of times when you're programming, when you start doing these loops, because it's not going to run as many times as you think. That's what Snubs just demonstrated is why it's not running as many times as you think. Just remember, have in the back of your mind every time you check that condition. So whether or not that's true, if you're not using the greater than or equal to or the less than equal to, it's going to stop a number ahead or a number behind the number that you set as your trigger.
Exactly. Now, I also wanted to do a little bit of review about how to open up the same program, well, kind of the same program, in Mac OS X. So I have a MacBook Air over here, and I'm going to just shove this over so I can show you what this looks like. And I have the same program running on this one, except this one is called Xamarin Studio. So you can download this over at monodevelop.com/download. I chose the stable release, Mac OS X, Xamarin Studio installer. So you click download, and it also tell you, if you just click download, it's not going to work, because you also have to have a couple of extra packages to include with that. So to install this release, you also need to download the following packages. When you click on this, it'll bring you to this page, and you choose Mac OS X, so the same operating system that you're using, and you choose, well, this was kind of weird. So it says Intel Mac runtime or SDK, and I was like, I'm not really sure which one I need to download, because there are no directions as to what is the difference between the two. So I downloaded both of them, and I installed
safe both choice.
Of them.
Very safe choice. Okay, put them
it
both on.
It worked just fine. So after you install those three different devices, you can open up Xamarin Studio. Xamarin Studio is just a regular application for Mac OS X, and it looks like this when you first open it up. I click on New, and I go to C#. And choose the same thing, console project.
Woohoo!
Down at the bottom, you can choose a name for it. So I'll call this episode 3 and click OK. And it will open up your brand new project.
And this is the nice thing. We told people about this before, right? That,
yes.
Look, we're doing Visual Studio, but you could do this in other environments. Here's proof. You could take the code that we're giving you, and you could drop it into this IDE, this IDE on a Mac, and it will work
exactly.
Just fine.
Yeah, and it works just fine. It looks very similar to the version of Visual Studio Express that we're using on the Windows machine. So it's very similar. And if you want to use the same kind of while loop on this one, you basically just copy and paste the entire while loop over to console right line. So you just delete this part right here and include your while loop. So very, very easy to use, and it runs as well. So I could copy it over right now. Let's find it, okay?
And we should mention that this studio, this IDE, is cross-platform. You can use it on Windows.
It is,
you can
yes.
use it on Macs. And, yes, for you Linux folks out there, you can use it on Linux. So you could download this, install it on your operating system of choice, and use it as a one-stop shop for playing with C# code.
So fun. Okay, so I'm going to... All right, so I deleted my quotes, because when I copy and paste, it gives me little quotes. I don't need those. So I'm going to hit build all. Let's see if it gives me any errors. Build successful. Okay, so we're good. Oops, my bad. Then I go over to run, and I'm going to start debugging. So it'll give me any bugs if it runs into any. And down here is my program.
Oh, how
about
that?
So it looks a lot
that?
Smaller. It's a little bit harder to read on the big screen, but it's the exact same line of code.
Which is what we want. Exactly.
Press enter,
it's the same code. Completed. It's the same output. That tells us that it's the same studio.
So cool. It works.
Yeah.
Yay.
Isn't it nice? I mean, yeah, we know theoretically it should work, but tell me, it kind of feels
still
nice,
feels
right?
very exciting does. Whenever these things actually work, and nobody sat there and like sat over my shoulder and said, okay, now press this button. I just figured it
it's
out myself.
The magical moment of discovery where you're like, oh, gosh, yeah. I don't know if it's going to... It worked!
I love that feeling.
Get that!
So, moving on.
Yeah.
What's next?
I'm thinking maybe we got to do some Ivory Tower, yeah?
Yeah, I'm thinking so.
Yeah, so, you know, last time we talked about while loops, I'm thinking maybe we should talk a little bit about that condition. You know the thing in parentheses
condition?
Right after while?
Is this like what I put in my hair?
Yeah, you know, it keeps you nice and flaky.
Yeah.
And actually, not flaky, nice and soft.
Unflaky.
Unflaky, yeah. Wow, I really don't know what conditioner does. But no, but it's the thing that is a Boolean expression, right? It's either true or false.
True
so
or
in
false.
Our example, we used a while statement, and a while loop looks like this. While, and then I have that. And then I have my brackets.
Yes.
And what it means is that it will run this piece of code, whatever I've got down here, be it a right line, a reline, whatever it's going to be, as many times as this is true. As
While
long
this
as
is
this
true,
condition
use
is true.
Use the code inside of these brackets.
Exactly. Now, I could do something like this. I use these relational operators, this relational expression. I could say 1 equal to 1.
Fill that in. It looks kind of like a semicolon at the end there.
There we go.
That's prettier.
Now, this is true, correct?
One is equal to one. Yeah.
Here's the problem. This loop will never stop running.
Because it's always going to
be true.
It's
always going to... Doesn't matter how many times this thing loops through, one will always be equal to one.
Okay.
So this is a relational operator. This is a relational expression. This is a condition, but it's a horrible condition. It's not something we would ever use in programming because it doesn't make sense. A for loop doesn't work if it always runs or never runs. So, for example, if I did this, let's say I did 2 is equal to 3, that's false.
That's never true, which means that whatever is in the brackets will never run.
And if it's never going to run, why would I actually write it?
Yeah.
So what we do we have, reach back into your bag, oh, tricks, Miss Snubs. Do we have some concept that we talked about on the show that maybe is a placeholder that could have different kinds of values?
Oh, I know. Oh. Variables.
Bang, exactly. We talked about this before. We covered variables on the show.
Yes.
And let's use my favorite x. So we have x greater than 0. Now, this could change because we don't know what the value of x is. The value of x could be changed within here. So if we did x equals x plus 1, just like you did in your example where it was, you know, x equals x minus 1, I'm doing plus 1. And so if I say integer x starts at 100. Actually, I'm going to use minus 1 here. Starts at 100. It's going to hit here the first time, and 100 is greater than 0. Then it's going to subtract 1, and it's going to run it again, and then it's going to get to 98, 97, 96, 95.
So it's very similar to what I did in my while loop.
Exactly. This is just a standard while loop. But what we want to focus on is this. This condition, this relational operator, is key because you see this in programming all the time. Remember what we talked about
that's
in the first episode?
We do.
Binary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, programming works on binary. It's either true or it's false. It's either going to run or it's going to not.
Oh.
In order to do this, we need to know what kind of relational operators we can use. And again, I know you told me never to do this, Snubs, but we're going to have to go back at the high school math. Remember,
are
you ready for this?
All right, I'm ready.
You're ready for this.
Okay.
Now, okay, so we've already seen this, right? We've seen greater than or less than.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we know if this is true, as long as what's on this side is bigger than what's on this side.
Yes.
This is true as long as what's on this side is less than what's on that side.
Right.
Now I also have this.
Is that greater than or equal to?
Exactly. Greater than or equal to, less than or equal to. Correct?
Okay, got it.
Again, just regular math. This math, this will be true as
long as... I almost forgot this stuff. Mm. It's been so many years.
Right, yeah. But it comes back. It comes back.
It
it's like riding a bike. You fall off and you skin your knee and you go crying. No, but this will be true as long as what's on this side is either greater than or equal to what's on that side. And this will be true as long as what's on this side is less than or equal to what's on that side.
So for my example, when I said counter minus 1 or counter minus 5 all the way down to... when it hits 6, if I use the greater than or equal sign, it would actually hit
5. It would run one more time because it would run with that 5.
That's cool.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Now, here are two more that you're going to have to know, and that is this. You saw me use this just briefly.
Is equal to.
Equal to. It's not just standard equal. You can't just put equal. The way that we
see,
use
that's
it.
That's what I figured you could do.
Yeah. It's equal equal. So this will be true as long as what's on this side is the same value as what's on that side.
Right.
That's true. And then there... I'm sorry about this.
What's that one? Never equal to?
It's the bang and equal to, not equal to.
Not
right?
equal to.
So it's the opposite of this. So this will be true as long as what's on this side is equal to what's on this side. This will be true as long as what's on this side is not equal to that side.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Now, this is just math. So everything that you could do with this in a math question, you could do with a program.
Yeah.
The reason why we have all these different types of relational operators is because we need different ways to express what's going on inside your computer program.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
Exactly.
I'm ready.
Yeah, you're ready. If we only had the greater than, we'd be fudging our code to make sure that it incremented every time or decremented every time.
Yeah, but that would just be annoying for the programmer.
That would be freaking horribly, terribly annoying. We
don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that. All right. So last time we talked about the while loop, remember, and you had a really good example of the while loop, and you had to create a variable that acted as the counter, and the counter was decremented every time the loop ran, and so eventually the loop would stop.
Right.
But that's only one type of loop.
Okay.
Yeah, Snuff, you want to learn about another one?
More?
Yeah, let's learn about the for loop. Okay, so
the
for loop is actually, this is the loop that I use more often than anything else.
Oh,
really? This is
not the while loop?
Not the while loop, it's the for loop. The reason why is the for loop is a little bit different. The while loop had to have this. Remember, you had to have some sort of variable that was initialized outside of the loop, correct?
100, okay.
Right, because remember, if we just use static numbers, the loop would either always run
right.
or never run. So we
yeah.
need to initialize a variable outside of the loop. Then we need to make the loop use that variable, x, say, greater than 0. And then we need to do something within the loop to make sure that we change the value of x, correct?
Yes.
Because otherwise, if this was true the first time and I never change it, it's always true. If
yes.
it's false the first time, it never runs. So I'd say x equals x minus 1.
Okay.
Okay, so this is a simple loop. This actually won't output anything to the screen, but it will run until x is no longer greater than 0.
Mm-hmm. Okay? That makes sense.
That makes sense. There's a different way to do this. I don't have to have an initialization of a variable outside the loop. I don't have to have the condition. And then I don't have to do here what's called the step. I don't have to
really?
Do a step. I could have everything.
But that's going to break it.
It should, right? Unless I have something like this. For x equals, integer x equals 100. X greater than 0, x minus 1.
Okay.
What a for loop lets me do is it lets me put its own initiator, its own condition, and its own step within the structure of the loop itself.
So that actually looks like it's going to save you a lot of time.
It is, right.
Because
I don't have
to use different lines for every bit of the command.
Exactly. One of the nice things about the for loop is I don't have to worry about, well, did I initialize the variable for it? Am I using the step? Is the step inside the code? No, it's all contained right here. I initialize my variable, I set my condition, mm-hmm. and I do my step all in one line.
That's cool.
It's very cool, right. And then I could do anything here, and this would continue to run.
Yeah.
Every time this for loop runs, it will do x minus 1.
That's awesome.
Right.
So down in between your brackets, when the actual command runs, you can make it just say hello world 100 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I guess that would be 99?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah? Gotta love it. Now, the for loop is one of these things that once you start using it, it's hard not to use it because it is so useful. It does pretty much permeate every bit of code that anybody ever writes. What people normally do is I love to use the plus increment. I'm kind of addicted to that. And, oh, man.
What does that say? Plus plus?
Plus plus, right.
Plus plus, okay.
You know, we need to get a bigger board. X
or
plus
just push
plus.
The board over.
Plus plus is the same thing as saying add 1. So every
plus
time
plus,
the loop
okay.
runs, it would be 1. And then I'd have to change the condition to say as long as it's, we'll start at 1, x is less than 100.
And less than 100,
yeah,
okay.
There we go. The
okay.
same thing. So, do you understand for loops?
I do, yeah. That's pretty easy to understand given that we already learned while loops.
Yeah, so exactly, right?
It makes sense.
And this is where we want to be, Shannon. We want our code monkeys, we want our code warriors to start understanding that all of these concepts are going to build up on each
yeah.
other.
Yeah.
So integers, you know, variables, conditions,
yes.
relational expressions, loops.
All of this can be used together and all of it will happen again.
And you know what we should do? We should probably bring in the man who's going to show us how they use together.
I'm going to guess that this is our awesome friend, Lou.
Yeah, Lou, our code warrior. Come in, Lou. Are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing, guys?
Hi.
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me again.
Now, you were tasked with giving us a program that would show off for loops for the boys and girls at home. You want to break that bad boy out?
Yeah, you bet.
All right. So how about this? Let's do something a little bit different because we've sort of been cutting your time short because we didn't want to confuse the people at home.
That's true.
I think.
Am I that confusing?
No, you're just a little too smart for us. No, but what we'd like you to do now is go ahead and step through every line of code. I mean, ignore the includes because we haven't got to includes yet. But step sure. through the lines of code to show us what's going on inside your program, especially when you get to for loops.
You bet. So obviously, the first thing that we have here is, if you show my screen here, is just the normal console program that you know we've seen before that Stubbs has shown and I have shown to you. And we just ignore namespace for now in a class, but we can obviously go down here. And this is just the beginning function we call main function. Every console application has it. And so what we want to do is, like Padre said, is we want to ask the user for them to basically write a piece of text, and then we want to loop that text a bunch of times, and we're going to ask them how many times they want to loop it. So again, we go back to the using console. We're going to write out And we're going to ask them, what would you like to write today? What would you like to repeat a bunch of times? And then that will just basically write to the user. And then we want to ask the user. We want to say, hey, you know what? Why don't you go ahead and type that in for us? So we'll do that using the console read. So we've seen this all before. This is console read. I have my little comments in here too. Sorry about that. And
like
so then we're
going to
store that. And then we have what we call a string variable, again, called text. And that's where we're going to store it for the time being.
Text. Okay, got it.
Yep. And then, so now we want to ask them, well, how many times do you want to repeat this? Because, you know, you can do the for loop and you can statically set it. Like Padre was saying, hey, I can do it 100 times. Or I think you put 1,000 times on yours. And so I want to actually ask the user, how many times do you want to actually repeat this? And so I'm going to ask them again right here. I'm going to say, hey, how many times do you want to repeat it? Again, console outright. I'm going to ask the user. And then I'm going to have them input it. And so next line will be, hey, give me the number. So now you'll notice that it's actually another string variable, because what we're doing is the user's entering a bunch of text and we need to store it somewhere. And so that's where this string variable comes in. But we really want this to be a number, because right now it's just a string. So we have to do this fancy schmancy conversion that we have to do to say, hey, give me the text and convert it to a number. So I'm going to create a variable to store the number in there. So I call it int repeat number. And then I'm going to do this conversion. And this conversion will also not only have the conversion code, but it'll also have a check to make sure the user isn't entering garbage inside the console application.
Right. So when we talk about sanitizing inputs, that's exactly what you're doing here.
Whoa.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
Lou,
so this is a lot of code, but it just has a bunch of text to the user saying, hey, I did this check. And we don't have to worry about what this check's doing right now, but it's just, I did this specific check to make sure it's a number, and you didn't enter a number to me. So I'm just entering, I'm console, and I'm actually changing the color of the console to be red. So this way, you know, the user understand that they had an issue.
User error.
Yep, exactly. User error.
That's so, Lou, what we've got here for the folks at home is, so far, you've asked someone on the other side of the screen what they would like to repeat. Then you've also asked them how many times they would like to repeat it. And then you've got a function in there that says, let's look at that string, make sure that it's in the right format for us to be able to do this program.
Sanitizing.
Yeah.
That's right, sanitizing.
Now,
yeah,
before we go on, so we're going to tease them, but you know what, Lou? How about this? Why don't we take a break to let the folks at home know who supports KnowHow and how they can find out more about what we're talking
about. KnowHow.
I know. Coding 101.
Wrong show, man.
I know. Wow. this is not
called you out
this
on
is
that
called
one.
Coding 101. Yeah. Bang. How about that? No. Okay, Lou, have you heard about lynda.com?
I have.
Lynda.com, it is the source for everything that we need to know about everything we need to know. It's how geeks learn on the internet. Now, the cool thing about Lynda.com is it's an online learning company that can help anyone learn creative software and business skills to achieve both personal and professional goals. Now, with a Lynda.com subscription, the members can receive unlimited access to a vast library of current and engaging video tutorials across a wide variety of subjects, everything from creative and software skills to business negotiation and programming. At Lynda.com, you'll learn how to create code, how to build applications, from the foundations of object-oriented programming in C and C++ to desktop and mobile apps for today's popular operating systems. You'll explore the fundamentals of programming, building web applications with .NET, PHP, and MySQL, managing data with SQL databases, connecting to cloud services, and so much more. Now, Snubs, well, we've talked about this before, right? When we were building Coding 101, we said we want to show people the exciting bits of code, but then they have to go poke at things. They have to break things, and they have to go and find out how things work, right?
Absolutely.
Well, that's what Lynda.com is for. This service will allow you to guide yourself through a C++ course, to look at the fundamentals of object-oriented programming, to fill in the blanks, the things that we don't teach on the show because we don't have time. Well, at Lynda, you've got the time. You've got all the time you need because you get to learn at your pace. Anything, anytime, anyhow. Now, you can improve your skills, learn new software, and keep up with the technology with Lynda.com. They have over 2,000 courses with more added each day. Their popular courses right now include topics like the foundations of programming, HTML, PHP with MySQL, Objective-C, Java, JavaScript, and WordPress. Their instructors are working professionals at the top of their fields and expert teachers. They have high-quality video productions from state-of-the-art studios. Snubs, you know this. This ain't the guy at home who's really nervous and doesn't really know how to be in front of camera. This is someone who knows how to teach you.
Yes, absolutely.
And with lighting and sound so that everything looks and sounds great. They have curated course content. Each lynda.com course is carefully structured so that users can learn from start to finish or jump to a specific chapter. They also have easy-to-follow videos that can help you find the answers that you need and searchable transcripts that let you search within a video. This is key. It's not just the chapter headings. You could look for a specific question that you need answered and jump to that part of the video. It's a great feature. They have courses for all experience levels, beginner, intermediate, and advanced, covering a wide range of technical skills, creative techniques, business strategies, and more. You can watch from your computer, tablet, or mobile device. You can switch and pick up on the chapter where you left off. You get to learn at your own pace, on your own schedule. So how about this? We want you to try lynda.com. It's only $25 a month for access to Lynda's entire course library, or for $37.50 a month, you can subscribe to the premium plan, which includes exercise files that let you follow along with the instructor's projects using the exact same assets. And you can try lynda.com right now with a free 7-day trial. Visit lynda.com/C101 to access the entire library. That's over 2,000 courses free for 7 days. That's lynda.com/C101. And we thank Lynda for their support of Coding 101. I love them.
Love.
Even though I did mention the wrong show.
That's okay.
Yeah, go figure. Yeah. So, Lou, now that we know where they can go after the show to find all the little things that we're not telling them right now, you want to teach us a bit more about your code? You just showed us how you're going to output to ask the user to input both the string and the number of times it should be read. Where do we go after this?
Sure. So, basically, we're just showing you stuff you've already seen before in some of the other examples that we've given. So the next thing we want to do is we want to actually output or actually print to the screen the text that you've entered a certain amount of times. And the number of times is going to be the number of times you had the repeat number. So I'm going to do a quick for loop here, just like Padre had shown. And let me explain the for loop real quick. So what I've done is I have this initial, we call this the initialize, the condition, and the update. And so the initialize is we have a count variable we created saying, hey, this is how many times I want to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm starting at one. And then I'm incrementing that count using this fancy plus operator that Padre showed. Or I could just do plus one.
Make it easier. No, but what fun is that?
Yeah, that's right. I like the plus plus.
So plus plus is the same as plus one?
Yep.
That's right. Yeah,
always?
It's basically saying...
Always. Okay.
Yeah, count equals count plus one is basically what plus plus means.
Right. You could also put like... count equals count plus five, although that'd be a very rare case. Plus six. You can make it count by anything you want, but
okay.
That's right.
It's a count.
You can minus, you can plus, you can multiply, whatever you need to do over here. Then I'm checking to say, hey, after the count is plus added to one to it, is it less than the amount of times you've asked me to repeat? Less than or equal to in this case.
Oh.
And so then I basically just output the text that they have to the screen in this loop. And then it should just pretty much, the program should just end after I do it this many times. So if I run it real quick.
So what is this console write in green? It has a zero in the middle
of
a couple of paragraphs?
Yeah. So what that is called is it's basically just a replacement. So basically you can do, there's a couple ways you can do this. I can just do, I can do text like this.
Uh-huh.
Or I can do, if I want to actually say something in here, I can do like text plus hi, or...
Which is a concatenated string.
A concatenate, right? Or there's another way to do it, and I actually prefer it this way, is where you can put these little tokenizers, they call them, and that means, hey, this is a placeholder for some piece of text I want to put in here, and the text I want to put in here is the one after the comma.
Oh, that's weird.
And so you can put anything you want in here, and then it will always say text, and then this little stuff right here.
Okay.
So it's called a tokenizer. It's really easy to. I mean, it's up to you what you want to do. I can just make it even simpler and just do this. So now I'm saying, hey, I'll put the text to the screen.
But Lou's doing it the professional way.
Yeah.
In the professional way, you're going to use that tokenizer.
Well, the reason why I put that is because then I can have like a space after it, and you can actually see the word. So this is so you have a space after, a little space right here.
I'm going to have to break into that and start messing with it.
Yeah, it's fun. So let me, if I do this real quick and I show you a lot, pretty big text, but we'll say, hey, I want to say hi. And that says, this is really big. How many times do you want to output to the screen? And I say, I want to enter 100 times. And then, so there, now we enter and it's input 100 times with a little space in between there.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yep.
And that's because you put a space after the tokenizer. If you didn't put a space, it would just be hi.
That's
just,
right.
Forever
so,
and ever.
So the last thing I want to show is real quick is what we call an out of scope variable. And what this is very similar to a while loop, because basically I'm initializing my count outside the for loop. But then I'm just saying, hey, ignore this first parameter because I don't need to initialize anything, and then use the rest. And then what this allows me to do is when I'm done with the loop, I can actually say, hey, this is how many times I've actually ran the loop. And so I can actually output the count to the screen.
Oh, that's
and what
cool.
This will, yeah, and what this will allow the user to do is they can like switch around this little operator up here to basically see how many times they can get the loop to go based on the operator. So if they change this to just equals, will it actually do the amount of times they expected? So if I run this and I do, you know, ASDF 100 times, 200 times, hey, actually the count is actually 201.
Oh,
so we need to figure out why that operator is doing it that way.
Which gets back to your interesting demonstration with counting down to 5.
That is interesting. Okay.
So this is a little easy way. You can pretty much not put any of the parameters in the for loop, and that becomes what they call an infinite loop. And then you'd have to somehow break out of the loop in here somewhere where you have to put a break statement, and then it will break out. Otherwise, you'll sooner or later run out of memory or something, and the program will crash.
Which is what we talked about, you know, having a while loop without any way to increase or decrease the counter. You're either always going to run or you're never going to run.
Yes.
What Lou's saying is, well, you know what? How about this? We've seen these programs before, right? The looping program. I'm thinking of the Doge song.
Absolutely.
Go, you know, imagine that, but in programming technology. We could say, hey, you know what? Just keep running this until they tell me to stop.
Okay.
And so that's what Lou is adding here. He's adding
that's
a little
really cool.
break. So to say, okay, check to see if they want to get out of this.
It looks like this could be really handy and save you a ton of time.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Lou, do you want to talk a little bit about that? So, you know, one of the things that we like to bring to our audience is sort of a higher level of looking at code. Obviously, the examples that you write for us, and by the way, thank you very much for being our code warrior, they're rudimentary. I mean, I don't think at Microsoft you never had one of your managers come to you and say, we'd like you to write a for loop to say hello world. I mean, have you had that? I mean, is that a current project at Microsoft?
we build a lot of like internal tools, and some of them are pretty much as simple as that. They just do a very simple task like delete a file or something. So we have done that before.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know about, maybe I probably slant towards for loops. I'd say like 60% of the time I'm using a for loop. But what would you say the ratio is for you?
For for loops, I think I use for loops for everything, because I can pretty much make it look and feel like a while loop. I can make it feel like for each loop, or a do while. There's also something called a do while loop as well. So I can make them kind of do the similar things. For loops kind of like universal like that. So I like to use it the most. And then of course, there's another one called for each, which we'll get to later. But and that one iterates over things. But those are the two I use the most.
And actually, maybe you can help us with a question that we got in the chat room, which is, wait a minute. You know, I know you're going to talk about for loops in the next episode. If for loops are so useful, why would you teach us any other kind of loop? Shouldn't you just teach us all the things about for loop? What would your answer be for that?
So specific types of loops allow you to do things more efficiently. So like what happens is when the while loop gets compiled down to potentially machine code, it's compiled down to a specific piece of machine code. And so sometimes while loops are potentially more efficient than for loops, depending on what you're doing. And so like when you're just basically outputting stuff and doing some conditions, sometimes while loops are more efficient. But if you need to like increment a counter a bunch of times and then do a check like you were showing on the board, then it makes more sense to do a for loop, because that gets consolidated when it gets compiled down and more efficient. And so it runs faster and more efficiently.
Fantastic. Lou, is there any parting knowledge you can give to our aspiring code warriors, all the code monkeys who might be in the chat room right now saying, okay, I'm starting to get this, but maybe it hasn't clicked. What advice would you give to the young code monkey?
honestly, just try stuff out. I mean, go out to the MSDN articles, or even, you know, there's Stack Overflow is another great website. There's some great websites out there that gave you some great examples. You know, change the program to do something for you. So, like, let's say, like, for instance, I did a Super Bowl thing where I did the squares, and you got to put everyone's name in a square, and we had to pick a random square. So I built a really simple console application that generated a random number, and then we put that number in the square. And so there's, you know, build your applications that will help you. Maybe to even change the applications we give to you to do something for you. And then it actually will hit more home for you, and you'll relate it to it more. And you'll want to, you know, be able to change it. You learn more from it by actually relating it to yourself.
Lou, thank you so, so very, very much. I'm going to say this, Snubs. We've been wanting for a while to get some homework from our audience, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm always up for seeing what viewers are bringing in, too, because I want to feature you guys on the show as well. So I've been asking about that on the Google Plus community, too.
Yeah, so how about this? Take a snapshot of your code. Do like what Lou suggested. Make the code work for you. You don't have to use our examples. You know what the code does. We've been poking you into the code the last 4 weeks. So how about this? Jump in there, change something to make it fit you. I don't know, maybe you can make it draw. Maybe you could make it do something fun across the screen. Take a shot of your code, take a shot of your output. ASCII. That's it, that's the challenge. Get in there and do some ASCII art. Take a shot of your ASCII art, make sure that ends up in our G Plus page, and who knows, maybe we'll feature you on the show.
Wonder if that would work.
Well, Lou, again, thank you very much for coming onto the show. Do you want to tell the folks at home where they could find you?
Definitely. Twitter.com/LouMM. And you can find me at about.me/LouMM as well.
Yeah. And don't forget that you can always find the code. Yeah, you can find it in our show notes. Specifically, we've got a link in the show notes to our GitHub page. You'll be able to copy the code exactly as Lou gave it to you. You know, he's giving you the assets so that you can go ahead and play around with it. Don't forget to visit that show page at twit.tv/code and subscribe. Also, make sure that if you use iTunes, if you're an iDevice user, jump into iTunes and subscribe to Coding 101. Believe it or not, I believe we're in like the top 10 of video podcasts.
Yeah, last I checked, we were.
Hey, go figure. Go, yeah, please. We love you.
Why are people watching this show? I know, I'm so confused. You can also check us out on YouTube. We're at youtube.com/twitcoding101, so you can watch all of our episodes and catch all the updates about upcoming Google Hangouts, because I definitely want to do that. And we also just started up our Google Plus community. I finally made an image for our profile. Our profile picture. So we've been getting in there and asking you guys for your ideas, what you want to see on the show, as well as getting some really good feedback. So thank you to everybody that's doing that. You can either search for us. It's TwitCoding101, or you can use a tiny URL I just created. It's tinyurl.com/coding101.
Yeah. And if you're not into that groove, you could also find us on Twitter. That's a really good way to talk to us. Maybe ask us a couple of questions, suggest things that you want on the show. You can find me at twitter.com/PadreSJ. That's @PadreSJ. And Snubs.
I am Snubs, @Snubs. It's easy.
I love things that are simple. Yeah, how about that?
That's what I get for making it in like 2005.
I know. I love it. It's a great name. And don't forget, we do this show every week live. Yes. Right here, Thursdays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. You can drop over to live.twit.tv, find out what we're doing before and after the show. And also, we have a chat room, right?
Yep, irc.twit.tv. And we see tons of you guys down there right now, and we've been reading your feedback as it comes in. So thank you so much for talking with us while we've been doing this live show. We appreciate it.
We really do. Folks, that's the end of our show. I'm Father Robert Ballasaire.
I'm Shannon Morse. Snubs.
End of line.
You went there.